Funny way. All right, tonight we're going to do something a little different than the last couple of times we learned together. I want to learn a piece together based on the teachings of Rav Dessler Zatzal, Rav Eliyahu Dessler. Rav Dessler, of course, was the Mashgiach of the Panovich Yeshiva, author of the Michtav Mi'Eliyahu, probably what he's most famous for. And Rav Dessler has an unbelievable piece, a remarkably timely piece in the third volume of the Michtav Mi'Eliyahu, which we're going to base tonight's words upon. And I want to begin with the Medrash that he begins with. It's a Medrash in Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, and it's a dream that we're very familiar with, the dream of Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu, when he goes to sleep in that holy place, which of course is the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and again, we're going to enter into the sugya of Mashiach, which is very much on all of our minds. Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep, and he has a dream. He sees a ladder. And he sees angels ascending the ladder and descending the ladder. And the Medrash Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Lamed He describes this dream. He sees angels going up, he sees angels going down. Says the Medrash, Eilu olim ve'eilu yardim, the angels are ascending and descending. Hera'u HaKadosh Baruch Hu arba malchios moshlin va'odin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Yaakov Avinu the four malchios, the four exiles of Jewish history. The four enemies, the four nations coming after, of course, Mitzrayim, but the four other nations that would enslave the Jewish people and make us suffer. And Yaakov Avinu saw, he saw the angels representing the nations. He saw the ministering angel of each of those nations ascending the ladder and descending the ladder. So, for example, says the Medrash, Hara'u Sar Malchus Bavel, he saw the angel, the ministering angel of Bavel. It went up 70 rungs of the ladder and then it came down. Ve'ra'u Sar Malchus Madai Ola Chamishim Ushnayim Ukim V'Yorid. And then he saw the ministering angel of Madai ascend the ladder 52 rungs and then come back down. And then he saw the next Malchus, the Malchus of Yavan, ascend 180 rings and then to come back down. But says the Medrash, and this is what we're living in right now, we're living in Galus Edom. This is the story of the last 2,000 years of exile. Ve'era'u Sar Malchus Edom Ole Ve'eno Yored, a terrifying image. Yaakov Avinu saw the ministering angel of Edom, that's the exile we're in now, the Chorban Bayis Sheni came about through Edom, through the Romans. The continuation of that, of course, is the Western world, the Christian world, Western culture. He saw the Malach letter Ve'eno Yored. Maybe that Malach is never going to come back down. Maybe Malchus Edom will be dethroned. Va'omer e'aleh al b'masei of edameh le'elyon. Amr lo Yaakov. Yaakov says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be with Edom? If you look in another version of this Medrash as it appears in Vayikra Rabbah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yaakov, relax, relax. I know it's been a long gullus and it didn't even happen yet. You're just watching it unfold. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu, Im tagbia kanesher, if Edom flies and soars like an eagle, and takes up a seat right next to me, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to keep an eye on Edom. Edom, as long as it may seem to last, and maybe from your perspective, Yaakov, it doesn't look like it's ever going to end, but Yaakov, I promise you it's going to end. And Yaakov, of course, wakes up from that dream, and he realizes that he's in the Makom HaMikdash. He realizes that there is going to be a Geula. Ad kan, the words of the Medrash. Rav Dessler quotes from the Maharal of Prague, who tries to give us a window into this Medrash. The Maharal wrote many, many Svarim. One of his Svarim on Golus and Geula is called Netzach Yisrael. And in Netzach Yisrael, in Perek Yud Zayin, he explains what was it and what is it. Let's not talk about what was, because we don't really... let me say that differently. Of course we care about Yaakov Avinu's perspective, right? But more importantly for us, from our current vantage point, we care about our perspective. We're trying to understand what does this mean to us. Not Yaakov as the person, but Yaakov as Bnei Yisrael. What are we going through right now? And that sense of a situation that it's very unclear when it's going to end. And there's been many points throughout Gullis Edom, since Chorban Bayis Sheni. Again, it's been a long time since the second Beis HaMikdash existed and was destroyed. There's been a lot of points where we probably thought like, okay, this is probably it. I can't imagine it goes on any further than this. And yet here we are, facing a whole new world, a whole new Nisayon, a whole new challenge, a global one at that. And we're trying to make sense of it and figure out, you know, is this ever going to end? And what's going to look like if and when it ends? So the Maharal writes some very insightful words, again, in Perek Yud Zayin of Netzach Yisrael. The Maharal says, why was Yaakov able to see the end of the first three exiles? And why was it that Yaakov Avinu, he was trying to see, somehow he wanted to see where Golas Edom ends, and he couldn't see it. He just saw them going up and up and up and up. He couldn't see the end. Says the Maharal, it's a deep idea, listen to his words. Ki kol shlosha malchios harishonim ra'a Yaakov aliyasan v'ra'a gam kein yiridasan. The first three exiles of Jewish history, Bavel and Madai and Yavan, he saw the ascent, he saw the descent. Chutz min ha-malchus ha-revius, shira'a aliyasa v'lo ra'a yiridasa. But the fourth one, he saw Edom getting stronger. He saw Klai Yisrael being suppressed. He saw, so to speak, the world climbing higher and higher and higher. And poor little Yankala, Yaakov Avinu, is standing there at the bottom of the ladder wondering, what's going to be with me? And why was that so? Says the Maharal, listen to these words, they're amazing. V'zem ipnei kishar ha-malchios nosin lehem Hashem Yisbarach yirida mitzad olam hazeh. The other three exiles have yirida as is woven into the script of olam hazeh. In other words, there are nations that rise, there are nations that fall. There are things that seem like they're going to last forever. You know, you would have asked someone in communist Russia, right? Will we ever see an end to that period? Or you would have asked a Jew in the throes of the Holocaust, do you think this will ever end? And while, of course, in our heart of hearts, we always long for and hope for an end, but there was times in world history where there were just, the forces of evil were so powerful, it seemed like nothing could overturn them. But of course, Yaakov Avinu, as being revealed to him in this vision, is being revealed to and being revealed to us is that yes, there are nations that rise and there are nations that fall. There are rules of olam hazeh that one day the market is doing great and the next day the economy is collapsing. That's the nature of olam hazeh, and that's true for the first three exiles, the regular patterns of the success and then the failure of nations. Ulefichach Yaakov shahaya ba'osel zman b'olam hazeh. So Yaakov Avinu, looking at the situation from olam hazeh, albeit in a strange dream sequence, he was able to see the downfall. It was part of the natural process of life. Why couldn't Yaakov, and this is the deep secret of the Maharal, and this is what Rav Dessler, again, is elaborating on in that third volume of Michta Me'Eliyahu, in that essay. Says the Maharal, why couldn't Yaakov Avinu see the downfall of the fourth exile? Aval malchus ha-revius yiridasa min ha-olam ha-elyon. Because the downfall of that fourth exile is something not of this world. Getting out of this final mess, and again, I'm talking about 2,000 years of mess, that has a lot of pogroms and a lot of Holocaust and a lot of natural disaster, to get out of this final stage, it has to be something that operates beyond the natural order of things. V'Hashem Yisbarach Ba'atzmo Morid Osa. And these words just send chills down our spine. That only a Kodesh Baruch Hu can, so to speak, bring down Edom once and for all, paving the way for Geula. Why do I say it should send chills down our spine? Because we know in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, in the first exile, which is not even counted as one of the four exiles, Mitzrayim, how did we get out? So we say, oh, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, worked his magic. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu was a shliach of Hashem. But sof kol sof, push comes to shove, in those final moments of the redemption of Klal Yisrael, as we're going to say in a couple of weeks, when we sit around our tables, whoever we're able to be with, to celebrate the Seder, Ani v'lo malach, Hashem says it was me. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, ani v'lo hashliach, ani hu v'lo acher. Hashem says, when we're dealing with transformations from Golis to Geula, not just a world power, things were a little rough and then things got better. That's all part of the natural story of history. But when you go from being a slave nation of Mitzrayim to standing at Har Sinai, That is a new creation that only a Kodesh Baruch Hu could manage and could organize and could arrange such a thing. It says the Maharal, the same thing is coming out of this final gullus. Coming out of this final gullus, this is not normal. This is not a regular emergence from beneath some type of oppressor. This is a whole new world order, and the only way that could happen is through the guiding hand of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem Yisbarach Ba'atzmo Morid Osa. Only Hashem can bring down Edom once and for all. And that's the Pasuk in Ovadia that we saw in the Medrash. Im Tagbiya Kenesher. If we soar, If the enemy soars like a nesher, rising above, and Yaakov Avinu standing at the bottom of the ladder, looking up, wondering when is it all going to end? Misham oridcha. According to one version of the Medrash says that even if Edom tries to take a seat, pulls up a chair right next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod and says, hey, Rabbanu Shalom, you know, like, I'm going to sit here for a while. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to sit here as long as I let you sit here. And when it's time for me to kick you out, it's going to be all over. Ve'ein yiridasim mitzad olam hazeh klal. It's not the natural patterns that we see again in the rise and fall of nations. It's a whole new creation that's taking place. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu, who's in Olam Hazeh, can't see, he can't understand, the same way we don't understand, how this fourth and powerful. To be able to know that even though I don't know the answer, and Yaakov didn't know the answer, Yaakov Avinu didn't know the answer, we don't know the answer, but Hashem knows the answer. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who responds, again, by way of the Navi Ovadia, Im Tagvia Kanesher, even if Edom seems to soar up to Kisei HaKavod, trust me, Yaakov, I've got this. V'lo yihyeh yiridaso rak al yidei melech ha-mashiach, asher ma'alaso u'madregaso min olam ha'elyon. The fourth gullus is something that goes beyond our ability to understand. But therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mashiach, things that are beyond this world, are going to wrap up this final parsha, are going to make sense of this final parsha. The Maharal goes on and he explains the Gemara in Maseches Megillah. I'm not going to read you more from the words of the Maharal, but I wanted to share you these couple of lines in the Gemara in Megillah. And again, these are prophetic times in which we're living. These are amazing words that we're seeing unfolding before our eyes. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak darshens a pasuk. Al titein Hashem ma'avaye rasha zimamo al tafek yarumu sela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't grant the rasha his desires. Please restrain him from carrying out his will. Amar Yaakov lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, even though these are the words of the Navi, it's ki'ilu, this was Yaakov's tefillah as he went out to engage Esav. And again, that's the world that we're in right now. Edom is the continuation of that world of Esav, that world of Rome, the world of Western culture. Ribono shel olam, al titein la'esav harasha ta'avas libo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I beg you, please restrain Esav. Don't grant Esav the desires of his heart. Zimamo al tafek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't allow him to carry out his evil plan. Continues the Gemara on the top of Vav Amud Beis and Maseches Megillah. What is this a reference to? Zimamo al tafek, don't allow him, don't allow his evil plan to go forth, says the Gemara, Zo germamia shel Edom. And if you look in the Vilna Gaon's version of this Gemara, and you look in the Yaivitz, Rav Yaakov Emden, in the back of the Gemara, they both change it from Germania to Germania, Germany. Don't allow Germany to conquer the world. Yaakov Avinu was already davening. Yaakov understood that there's going to be a Holocaust in this final exile, and much more. And the Gemara goes on and says that there are 300 officers from Edom, and there are 365 other leaders, again, different types of world leaders, each from the world of Edom and Rome, and they're fighting with each other. And because they're fighting with each other, says the Gemara, they're not able to go forth and destroy the world. Is this predicting that there's going to be, you know, Republicans and Democrats fighting with each other, stopping things from moving forward? I have no idea. None of us know. But again, the Gemara is telling us that Gullis Edom has this awesome power that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't keeping them in check, they would literally go forth and destroy the entire world. But my friends, what are we seeing now? As we get to this final stage, as it's wrapping up, there's a restoration that's taking place in the world right now. And this is really the main yesod that I'm going to share with you from Rav Dessler. Because Rav Dessler says, again, like we started, Yaakov Avinu saw that frightening image and he had no idea how to make sense of it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov, Al tira avdi Yaakov, don't be afraid, Yaakov Avinu. I've got it under control. And like the Maharal explained to us again in Netzach Yisrael, that the fourth redemption has to correspond to the fourth exile. The exile is one that is so beyond our ability to understand, and the geula from it is also going to be something from the Elyonim, something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mashiach, something beyond this world that we can't truly understand. Says Rav Dessler, let's learn one more Medrash. The Medrash says on the Pasuk in Parsha Shmini, we know anytime you see a list of four, it alludes and corresponds to the four exiles of Jewish history. So there are four non-kosher animals that are spoken about in Parsha Shmini. And the last one on the list is Hachazir, the chazir, the pig. Ve'esa chazir, the pasuk says, ki mafriz parsa hu, vishosa shesa parsa, vuhu geira lo yigar. Yes, the chazir may have split hooves, but it does not chew its cud, and therefore tamehu lachem, the pig is not a kosher animal. Why is it called a chazir? Listen to this medrash. Tavar acher, says the medrash rab in Parsha Shmini. Ve'esa chazir zo edom. This refers to the fourth and final gullus. Vuhu geira lo yigar. It doesn't chew its cud. In other words, there's not going to be anything to regurgitate when this is over. When this one's done, friends, it's all done. This is it. We're wrapping it up. Shelo gara malchus achare. There's not going to be another world power after this. This is it. This is the final gullus. Va'achare lo yishavdu hamalchus es Yisrael. We will never be enslaved to another exile again. There will never be another world power that rules over Klal Yisrael. Again, we're still trying to get back on track since Chorban Bayis Yesheni, but when we get back on track, that's it. Bayis Shlishi is it. V'lama nikra shema chazir. And why is the fourth exile compared to the pig? Why is it called the chazir? Why is the Hebrew word for pig chazir? Shemach zeres atara lebala. Because it restores the crown. My wife told me today that in Eretz Yisrael, apparently Corona is called keser. Is that true? Apparently it's called, give me a thumbs up if you've heard about this. Is that true? I don't know, is that true? It's called Keser, apparently. Yeah, the crown. The crown is being restored rightful owner through a chorban of the world. Chazal predicted in the Medrash Rab and Parsha Shmini, Chazir Shemachzeres Atar Labala, that the crown is being restored to its rightful owner. Hadehu Dechsiv Va'alu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishpot Eshar Esav Va'hoysa LaHashem HaMalucha. The malucha, the crown, the corona, is being restored to its proper owner. And again, without being overly dramatic about it, but these midrashim have to speak to us during these days. I mean, something is being said here. So since everything that we've learned tonight has been based on Rav Dessler, now it's time to actually hear the words of Rav Dessler. Says Rav Dessler, and it's kedai to look at these words, maybe print them out if you have a copy of Michta Me'Eliyahu, hang this up on your fridge, because this is mamash what we're living during these days. Says Rav Dessler, again, he quoted the Medrash in Pirkei Derab Eliezer, he quoted the Maharal, he quoted the Gemara in Megillah. And then Rav Dessler says, let me tell you what this Medrash about the Chazir really means. And again, we're seeing it in our own times. And while it's tragic on the one hand, it's something to celebrate at the same time. Says Rav Dessler, listen to these words. V'hoysa l'Hashem ha'malucha, like the Medrash ended, the restoration of the crown to its rightful owner. Says Rav Dessler, Chorbona shel Edom yavo rak al yedei Chorban ha'olam haza. Like we learned from the Maharal, the only way to overturn something that doesn't make sense, al pi teva, we don't know how we're going to get out of this, the only way to overturn it is to overturn the whole world. Listen to the words again. It's on page 205 in the third volume of Michta Me'Eliyahu. Chorbana shel Edom yavo rak al yedei chorban ha'olam hazeh. We have to destroy the world as we know it. The whole world. Not just make a couple of, you know, minor changes to the way that we live. We have to overturn the entire world in order to get rid of Edom once and for all. In order to pave the way for that new world order called Mashiach. Kasher mevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu sa'olam. Lematzav shiyasodas chai ha'olam hazeh yismotetu. Says Rav Dessler, passed away in the 1950s. He must have been writing this in his context and seeing a world emerging after the Chorban of the Shoah. But the world now, the whole world is being overturned. Says Rav Dessler, when the world's foundations start to crumble, when life as we know it is literally plucked away from us, Hashalva tis'arer, the Yishuv Hadas, the Menuchas HaNefesh, the simplicity of our daily routines is totally upturned, is overturned. Chaye haprat yefchu l'chaye daga. The individual lives of people turn into a life of worry. Pachad v'yisurim. Trepidation, uncertainty. V'chol ha'olam kulo yamo tachas emas heres v'chorban. And we're worried that the whole world is going to be destroyed. Oz yisgala la'ein kol. Says Rav Dessler, then we're going to know once and for all, in a very clear way. And again, the sooner we get it, the less painful it has to be. Shehis rav ravu social edom. That the bragging, that the gaiva. This is such a humbling experience. How could we not be humbled by this experience? This is such a humbling experience for all of us, each in our own way. That the bragging of the world, The modern world, the Western world, the world of advancements in science and technology, a world where we think we have it all figured out. And all of a sudden, like that, we don't understand anything about anything. V'ga'avoso el hiskadmuso b'kiva shabriya. The gaiva that we feel, this sense of entitlement that we feel, that kiva shabriya, we've conquered the world. We're in charge. We wear the crown. No, the chazir is the restoration of the crown to its rightful owner. When we come to the realization that, you know what, all of our conquering and all of our world domination and all of our advancements and all of our haughtiness, as it's all taken away from us, and we start to realize that all of our advancements, meviam rak la'avadon, sometimes all we're left with is a world that's crumbling. Oz yakiru es haheder v'hefsed shebachai olam haza. That we come to realize that, you know what, for all of our advancements, have we really made the world a better place? And again, I'm sorry if this message is a little dark tonight, but it's really not meant to be, because as the Jewish people, it doesn't have to be a dark message for us. It's such a big opportunity for us to just reassess priorities, to be humbled by this experience. We're not in charge of the world. And for all the advancements of society, as modern as our world has become, have we really made the world a more wholesome place? Have we made it a better place? We've made it easier in certain ways. Our ability to interact with the world around us in many ways has become more convenient, but have we made the world better for all the advancements? Have we come to a greater appreciation of Rabbono Sholem, a greater appreciation for what it means to live a meaningful life? Or in the worlds of Rav Dessler, have we come to the realization now, as we're experiencing right now, that a world that is mirukana mikol tochan ruchani, that a world that is devoid of spiritual depth and spiritual content, hamovilim rak leklaya v'avadon, is a world that's destined to crumble. And that's what's happening. Again, without being overly prophetic, and without making predictions, without making declarations, Rav Dessler is telling us a very simple truth that we're living, and that is, if we don't have our priorities in check, eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gonna force us to get it. When we're forced to surrender our desires and our will, only then, oz yizgala oro shel Mashiach. Now when we finally say, like Yaakov Avinu standing at the bottom of that ladder, looking up as Edom is climbing higher and higher and higher, and the world seems to be progressing past religion with science and philosophy and all sorts of new ideas and new technologies and new advancements and new forms of entertainment, and all of it is replacing that old-fashioned Torah, that Old Testament. Rachmana Litzlan to even use the words. All of a sudden, the Kadosh Baruch Hu pulls the rug out from under us, and Hashem says, when I'm ready to put Edom in its place, and to recreate the world, mamish from scratch, I'm going to do it. Va'alu Moshiyim b'har Tzion lishpores har Esav. That Edom will be taken to task, and Mashiach will finally arrive. As the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, Mashiach yosef apischa deromi. Mashiach sits at the gate of Rome. But the way the Maharal explains it, the gate of Rome doesn't mean the entrance to Rome, but it means the exit to Rome. That after we've gone through this whole world of Rome, trying to build and create and to advance, and then at the end, we kind of throw up our hands and we say, you know what? What have we done to the world? What have we done to Hashem's beautiful world? What have we made of Hashem's world? How are most people on planet Earth living their life? And right now, they're having an opportunity to think and to reflect and to ask, what really is important? You know? I feel like writing an article now at the ESPN.com, because like eventually, you know, sports may come back. It may come back. I kind of want to like write the article now, like, you know, like, right now, we all realize that sports is really not that important, or important again, you know? But there's such a danger of slipping back into it if, God forbid, you know, if this just goes away and we don't get the wake-up call, and Mashiach doesn't arrive, God forbid, and we miss the whole point of this thing, the opportunity to reflect. Where have we got it to? What are our priorities? What have we focused on? What have we advanced in? Shemokom iskaluso shel Mashiach hu b'makom haheder shel Edom. When we finally push Edom aside, all of Western culture, which unfortunately has spoken against God in so many ways, passively and indirectly, directly and passively. So when it's all pushed aside, all of a sudden, we'll be able to welcome that light of Mashiach. And Rav Dessler concludes the piece by saying, this is really the secret of Mashiach being born on Tisha B'Av. You ever wonder why Chazal say in the Medrash that Mashiach is born on the day of such Chorban? Why does Mashiach come from a place of Chorban? Because unfortunately, sometimes the only way, like he said earlier, Chorbanah shel Edom, Yavo rak al yedei Chorban olam haza. Yes, Mashiach also has to come about through Chorban. Again, the Chorban doesn't have to be the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's foreshadowing in some small way that something needs to get pushed aside in a very significant way in order to make room for the Geula Shlema. If you look in that Mishnah at the end of Maseches Sota, and I'm going to end with this and just a letter that my wife shared with me just a couple of minutes ago that someone wrote, a letter to Hashem that someone penned. And it's really the letter of all of us. But if you look in that Mishnah at the end of Maseches Sota when it describes the signs of the Ikvus of the Mashiach, it has 15 signs of what it's going to look like before Mashiach comes. And they're mamish all true. Every single one of them is absolutely true in our world. I'm not going to go through them now. But the last one is, Al mi yesh lanu lehi she'ein al avinu shaba shamayim. And the way that Rav Schwab, in his Sefer on the Ikvus of the Mashiach, which he wrote at the behest of the Chafetz Chaim, he says that 15th one is not, you know, after you go through 14 stages of upheaval, Ein lanu al mi lehi she'ein al avinu shaba shamayim. That's actually one of the steps. That's one of the stages. Shagam ze inyan hu echad misimani hador sheben David ba. One of the signs of Mashiach's arrival is getting to the point where you realize, you know what? There's no one who can take care of me other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we acknowledge that, and we embrace the Chorban that's taking place in the world right now, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispers into Yaakov Avinu's ear, which is our ear, Al tira avdi Yaakov, don't be afraid, I got it under control. All the advancement, everything the world was trying to become, you know what? Was it really moving us forward? It's a big shiloh right now, we're all thinking about it in a serious, serious way. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has pushed it all aside, and now there's plenty of room for Mashiach to arrive. Listen to this letter that someone wrote to Hashem. Dear Hashem, now would be a good time to bring the Geula. It's a good time because all the Jews are now working from home, which means they can work from anywhere in the world, like Eretz Yisrael. The shuls and schools are already closed and can safely be plucked and moved to Eretz Yisrael. The planes are all grounded, waiting to fly all the Jewish people home to Eretz Yisrael. The Eged buses are parked and waiting to pick up the Jews from Ben Gurion Airport as they gather from all around the world. The streets and airports are empty to accommodate the worldwide aliyah of the Jewish people. The hotels and vacation apartments in Eretz Yisrael are empty to accommodate all of the new Olim. The Temple Mount itself is closed, making safe way for the arrival of the Beis HaMikdash. The Israeli government, which again, we have to be thankful for, but the Israeli government, which sometimes tries to a little bit too much usurp the power, the Israeli government is not officially functioning right now. The world economy is collapsing and there's really nothing to rely on but you. Listen to this next line, and this is really what Rav Dessler is talking about, alluding to. There's no more Hollywood, NBA, NASCAR, or Olympics. All of the false gods of humanity are dead. Eretz Yisrael had a record-setting rainy season. The Kinneret is full, so there's plenty of water to take care of all of the Jewish people. The weather is mild and dry. Chodesh Ha'aviv, for the rest of the week, making it easy for the Jews to walk to Yerushalayim. Pesach is coming, the handmade shmorah matzah is already prepared, and it certainly tastes better with a carbon Pesach. There's a mitzvah to stay indoors when there's a plague outside, just like in Mitzrayim. So Hashem, now would be the perfect time to bring Mashiach, love the Jewish people. Chevra, I don't know, no one knows. That's part of what Rav Dessler is trying to teach us tonight. We don't know exactly how it's going to unfold. But the bottom line is, says Rav Dessler, we're seeing this awesome upheaval that's taking place in the world. And again, we could be like the Yaakov Avinu, that initial response of standing at the bottom of that ladder, watching Edom climb higher and higher and higher and wondering when it's going to come crashing down. How could it ever all be overturned? And yet, says Rav Dessler, Chorbona shel Edom, when the world is crumbling, Yavo rak al yedei Chorban olam haza, the whole world has to crumble for Edom to crumble. And that paves the way for Mashiach's arrival. Nu, halavai, we should be zochet to see it in our days. We should be zochet to see all of these prophecies come true. We should be zochet to see, again, in the words of the Medrash, such beautiful words, the chazir, that pig, which is the embodiment of Golis Edom. It's called the chazir because it's taking that crown off its head once and for all, and it's machzeres atara lebala. It's restoring the crown to its rightful owner. Halavai, we should get that message in a clear and strong way. We should be zochet to see the Geula Shlema, b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Thank you all very much.